and a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand in your favorite podcast app. Just search for the Nick Craig Show wherever you get your podcasts, or you can listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. That's 910-251-6088. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. All right, we'll start off where we have the last couple of days. Day 8 now of a federal government shutdown continuing in Washington, D.C., as from all accounts, listening to short press conferences yesterday from House Speaker Mike Johnson, the House Minority Leader, and Hakeem Jeffries, no discussions, at least that anybody has telegraphed publicly, is happening. Jeffries even making the point saying, oh, you know, the Trump administration, they've been radio silent since the beginning of this shutdown, which I don't believe for one second. I mean, this administration, Trump has been talking about this publicly literally every single day since the shutdown began. I believe the reason that Hakeem Jeffries believes that there's a quote unquote radio silence going on is because he's not getting what he wants. That doesn't mean there's radio silence. And I mentioned this yesterday. I was in for Vince Coakley yesterday on WBT Radio. I was scheduled to be on today. Those plans have changed, so I'm not filling in. We'll have a regular full-length show here this morning. But I got a call from somebody who was talking about how this is the Republican shutdown. It's their fault. They don't care about the American people, so on and so forth. And I made this point, and I don't like having to go here, but it's the God's honest truth. Democrats are in the minority. Democrats do not have any bargaining chips. They do not have any leverage right now in Washington, D.C. Zero. And that is in large part due to their own miserable failure last election cycle. And in large part due to four previous years of Democrat control. I don't have any sympathy for them. I don't have sympathy for Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer or any other Democrat that's willowing around talking about how, oh, woe is me, and the administration won't talk to us, and oh God, it's just so mean and terrible. You guys put forth an atrocious presidential candidate in Kamala Harris 100 days before the election, a very unlikable figure in Harris, somebody whose track record as the vice president, to say is non-existent, is almost an understatement, because we never heard from her. She was tasked with very few things, one of them being the border czar. We saw how well that worked out for the Democrats, as immigration issues were one of the top, when you looked at political polling before the election, most presidential polls would ask, what is the top issue that's on your mind? Or list two or three of the top issues that are causing you to get out and vote later on this year. And immigration was almost always at the tippy top or in the top two or three of those lists. So Democrats ran a terrible candidate for president. Democrats failed to message on any substantial issues. And as a result, Trump won 7 of 7 swing states, won the popular vote for the first time in 20 years as a Republican. Republicans controlled and held on to their majority in the House and overextended what they were expected to get in terms of majorities in the Senate. That's the purely political picture that is in front of us. And as great as it is right now for Republicans, there will come a time where we will be the minority party once again. It happened not very long ago. Go back 3 or 4 years, we were in the exact same boat. It sucks being in the minority party. No question about it. But the reality is very simple. You're in the minority party. You have no bargaining chips. You have no leverage. And the reality is very simple. Nobody is obligated to work with you. I mean, you hear this all the time in North Carolina within the General Assembly. You'll hear Democrats like Deb Butler here in New Hanover County up on the floor of the North Carolina House griping and complaining about how, oh, you guys aren't willing to work with us and you didn't even have any conversations with us. We're not obligated to. We're the majority party. We're the ones that are in control. Voters have determined that they would rather have more Republicans in the General Assembly than Democrats. In the case of North Carolina politics, a supermajority in the Senate and one vote shy of that supermajority in the House. You turn your attention to Washington, D.C. Now you've got a similar situation. Trump controlling it all, running it all from the Oval Office. Strong majority in the Senate. And while there's a majority in the House, it's only a couple of votes, but it's still a majority. So this idea that when Republicans are in power, they are obligated, that they need to bend over backwards to meet the will of Democrats, is just not the way that government works. When Democrats are in power, it's the exact same way. Now, could you make the argument that you hoped it wasn't that way? Could you make the argument that you wished that even the minority party was part of the discussion in the room? Sure. And I'd be open to that conversation. But it takes two to tango. And you and I know damn well that the next time Democrats have majorities in the House, the Senate, and the White House, they will not be willing to have any conversations with Republicans in the minority. They won't. And I don't think they inherently should. That's how government works. It's a popularity contest. The party that's in the majority gets to govern, gets to lead. It's really that simple. Just because you lost, just because you don't have a majority, does not obligate other individuals to bow down to your beliefs and your ideas. That's just not how it works. And so if Democrats want to gripe and complain about that now, the next time that they're in leadership, they need to set the standard. They need to say, we didn't like when we were in the minority. We didn't like that we weren't part of all of these conversations. We are going to extend the olive branch. We are going to work with the minority party. If that happens, then I think Republicans need to do the same. But it's Democrats that need to take the first step. Because it's too often that Republicans are in the position where we have to use the word compromise. Oh, we have to compromise. When Republicans compromise, Democrats get the vast majority of what they want. It is a tale as old as time. And it's something that I'm not interested in doing anymore. Trump said, the C word, compromise. I don't do it. I don't like it. Anytime I hear a Republican, the word compromise flow out of their mouth, it is an immediate red flag as to what's going on. So the shutdown continues day 8. Next week, 1 week from now, we are going to be seeing something probably very interesting on the 15th. That is when the next pay period is for federal employees. They got paid 1 week ago on the first. Next paycheck set to go out on the 15th. So my stance remains the same. I will admit when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I thought this would have been resolved by last week, but I see very little situations, very little circumstances where Democrats allow this to go on for another week. It's a losing political battle for them. The American people believe, even Democrats believe, it's the Democrats' fault for shutting down the government. We looked at that polling last week. It's not a good situation for them. So the stalemate continues. The shutdown continues. It's not immediately clear if any votes are going to take place in the Senate today. We'll keep an eye on all the details right here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, on to some other news this morning. We've got some interesting media news to get into, including some shakeups over at CBS News with Barry Weiss. We'll get into some of those details. But before, we have got a brand new poll out from Gallup. This is something that if you are a longtime follower of me and joined me back on the radio here when I was hosting mornings in Wilmington, I talked about this poll a lot. This is Gallup, the Gallup poll's trust in media. This is a poll that they have been conducting pretty regularly since 1972. So this goes back multiple decades. And so every year they continue to ask people, they continue to conduct a survey asking about the trust in media. And for the last really couple of decades or so, we have seen a major decline in trust. And we've got the new numbers out this morning from Gallup. This is what they look like in 2025. Only 28% of people have either a great deal or a fair amount of trust in mass media, which is described as newspapers, television and radio. 28%. That is the lowest number ever in the Gallup poll. 1 year ago, that number was at 31%. Back in 2023, it was at 32%, 34% in 2022, 36% in 2021. So you have seen a massive drop off in individuals in their overall trust in mass media. Looking at some of the other respondents to this, 36% of individuals, the highest number in this poll since 2014, have not very much confidence at all. And then 34% say that they have none, zero trust in the mainstream media. Now, the individuals that had no trust in the media back in 2023 was at 39%. So that number has fallen a little bit, as not very much has risen. But really, the headline for me, this plummeting number of individuals that have a great deal or a fair amount of trust, now at just 28%. So let's dive into the details on this. Why is it that individuals have such little trust in mainstream media? And when I ask this, it's not tongue-in-cheek, and I'm genuinely not trying to be a smartass about it. It's not a rhetorical question. Why is there such little trust in media now? I think a large part of it has to do with social media. The reason that a lot of what people see on television, a lot of what people and newspapers, they still ask about newspapers, but those newspapers are shells of what they were even 10 years ago. I mean, the Wilmington Star News is now delivered by the Postal Service a day late and news articles that are 3 days old. I mean, there's no circulation. Nobody is reading it. The only paper that you still have in North Carolina that is in any sort of regular circulation is the Raleigh News and Observer and the Charlotte Observer. And both of those outlets are seeing major declines in their physical readership. So when you look at newspapers, television, and radio, the trust continues to fall. And as I mentioned, I think a large part of that is social media. You now have the ability to fact check what you're hearing. You now have the ability to look at a situation when you're getting information from what would be considered a mass media outlet. That would be the likes of ABC, CBS, NBC News. You now have the ability to see if you are getting the whole and the full and the true story. And many times, the answer to that question is no, you are not. You're not getting the full story. You're not getting the whole truth. You're not getting both sides of the argument. You're not getting both sides of the equation. You're being pigeonholed. You're viewing it with blinders on from the media outlet, not you yourself, but the media outlet has been very obvious and very clear in their intentions to make it as this is the truth, this is the fact, and don't look anywhere else. I mean, even just some recent examples of this. Look at what's going on over in Portland, Oregon right now. Look at what's going on in the streets of Chicago, Illinois. You have got Democrat politicians like J.B. Pritzker. You've got Democrat politicians like the police chief in Portland, Oregon, going on CNN, going on other news outlets, and turning a situation that you can see with your own two very eyes is not a good situation. ICE agents being boxed in by cars in Chicago, in Portland, Oregon, you've got individuals getting in full-on fist fights in front of ICE facilities, individuals throwing debris, whether it's rocks or bricks or water bottles, at Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials in Portland. It's not a good situation. Yet you listen to the rhetoric from politicians on the left, and you're told that's not true. You're told that's not happening. We heard from the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, that the Department of Homeland Security is running to cameras before they have time to deal with the situation. We've heard from Governor Pritzker that they are responding to calls, but it is the Department of Homeland Security that is not doing the job that they need to. That's what we're being told. Yet if you go on Twitter or you go on Facebook and you search for Chicago scanner traffic, you will see and hear a completely different situation. You will see and hear individuals working with local law enforcement telling officers to stand down. You will hear individuals that work for presumably the Chicago Police Department saying, don't respond to a call. Just stand back, wait a couple of blocks away. And the Department of Homeland Security published this scanner traffic on their X account yesterday. This is what it sounded like. So J.B. Pritzker says, we're working with federal law enforcement. They're just not giving us the access. They're not giving us the time. They're rushing to put out a press release, but we're working with them. We're trying to work with them, but it's their fault. And so here is evidence number one, exhibit number one. This is real, not AI, Chicago police scanner traffic back a couple of days ago.
All right, and 999, just to confirm, 39th Police in Kesey, they were saying that they were being surrounded by that large crowd, and they were requesting the police were not sending. I'm waving off all the cars heading to 39th Place in Kesey.
Again, those are the orders we're being given.
Okay, 10-4. And again, for all the units that we called to go over that way, 39th Place in Kesey, if you could just hold off 911, 913, 923, 924, 933, 934. Just disregard that. 39th Place in Kesey.
Just disregard that. Just disregard it. So you watch mainstream media and you are told that people like Brandon Johnson, who is the mayor of Chicago, you're told that people like J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, that they are working with federal law enforcement, that they are doing everything in their power to work with the federal authorities. That's what you're being told. Yet, when you listen to the actual scanner traffic, it is blatantly obvious and blatantly clear that that is not happening. And this stuff is, folks, is readily available. You don't have to go to the deep depths of the internet to find these clips. They're all over X. They're all over Facebook, which are, of course, two of the most prominent social media channels. I'm sure it's all over Instagram and TikTok as well. So, again, we look back at the numbers. We go back to the Gallup poll, and we see that trust, people that have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in mass media, is at 28%. I think that is probably the largest reason why. Now, each and every single person who wants to, not everybody wants to, not everybody has the time to, but for individuals that want to verify the information that they're getting, for individuals that want to see if they're getting the full story, they have the ability to do so. And more times than not, when they search this out for themselves, when they go, and again, not, you don't have to dig very long. You don't have to spend 6 hours doing research. You just simply go to X or simply go to Facebook and search what's going on. You will find that the story that you were told by mass media or mainstream media was not the full story, was not exactly the way that it played out. I have absolutely zero. If I could have less than zero, I would. But I have absolutely zero sympathy for mass media. I have absolutely zero sympathy for major media outlets that are shedding viewers, that are firing the employees, that are having to cut their staff, I have zero sympathy. Now, it sucks that people are losing their jobs. Absolutely. I'm not in favor of that. I'm not one of these everybody needs to be fired kind of people. But everything that we are witnessing right now is due to the fact that media outlets over the last 20 or 30 years have decided that it is no longer important to propose and lay out the facts for individuals to come up with an opinion. They have decided that they are the ones that are going to tell you what your opinion should be. Now, let's be clear and let's understand the two different sectors of mass media. You have got what is supposed to be journalism and news, and then you have opinion. And those are two different things, and they should be two different things. But unfortunately, in our modern media society, the line between those two sectors is incredibly blurry. And in some cases, I might argue the opinion section has become the news section and vice versa. There is very little journalism that is left in American media. Journalism, true journalism, where somebody goes, tracks down a story, reports on it in a way in which both sides have the ability to, not necessarily discuss, but both sides of the story are out there, facts on both sides are there, and then you, the viewer, you, the reader, you, the listener, are able to determine, based on your own opinions and reading information, what you think about an issue. There is very little of that left in mass media. Now, there is still significant amounts of journalism going on, but most of that is happening in alternative outlets. You are seeing the rise of, for example, Substack, which is a very popular platform where many individuals are now making a living and operating as a true independent journalist. These individuals are covering stories. These individuals are tracking down sources and providing information to an audience that is willing to pay for it. Because they have some level, and I would argue if you're willing to invest in something, a significant level of trust in what they are reading. So there is still some level of journalism in American media, but very little of that is at your mainstream outlets. There are, I mean, just a couple of people that I could point to at major media outlets that are still what would be described as kind of an old school journalist. Somebody that, you know, an old school newsman or newswoman. Very little of that exists. Most of what you see now on news, and again, I'm not talking about opinions. I'm not talking about an opinion show like Sean Hannity, for example. That is not a hardcore journalism news show. It is very much an opinion show, the same way that this show, the Nick Craig Show, is an opinion-driven show. I'm not beating the streets with my fedora and my news notebook and running around and getting stories. There is a difference, and there should be a difference between what is considered news and what is considered commentary and opinion. There is a difference, and there should be a difference. However, when you turn on the 6:30 news on ABC, NBC, or CBS, those, by definition, are news programs. I mean, every single one of them has news built into it. The NBC Nightly News. It's built literally into the name. The CBS Evening News, built right into the name. And I'm forgetting the name of the ABC show with David Muir. But same thing there. ABC World News Tonight. News built into all three of those show names. And so when I hear news, I am expecting the individual who is presenting the information to be a straight shooter. This is me as a media consumer, and I consume, I am probably in the 1% of those that consume media. I consume media when I'm not sleeping, that I'm consuming media, plain and simple. When I see news in what you're doing, I expect news. I expect some level of information that paints two different stories, that paints the facts of the of a situation, the facts of a case, so that I, as an informed individual, can draw my own conclusion. But if you turn on these shows, which I will admit I used to watch the evening newscasts a lot more regularly, I really don't anymore because they've just gotten so hard to watch. They've gotten so hard to try and digest. I just don't do it anymore. And I do. I consume a lot of media on both sides. But those shows are just skeletons of what they were. And so you turn that on and you're not seeing news. You're very quickly able to fact check what you're seeing by just opening up your phone. Using Face ID, using a fingerprint, you're on Facebook or you're on Twitter, you're on X. And you're able to determine that what you were just told is complete and total BS in the matter of 3 or 4 seconds. It's that quick. You don't have to have a background in journalism to try and get the full story anymore. And so when I look at these numbers and I see that only 28% of individuals now have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in mass media, it's totally predictable. Outlets like ABC, NBC, and CBS have determined that it is no longer in their best interests to report the news. These entities have determined that it is now more important to tell you what to think than how to think. And there's a very key difference between those two things. Giving you the information so that you can think is very different than saying, this is what your opinion needs to be. And when you purposefully misrepresent facts, when you purposefully even ignore an entire side of a story for your own political gain, that's no longer news. We're going to be talking about Barry Weiss and the Free Press coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But you'll remember back a couple of years ago, is it 2 years ago now, 3 years ago now, an individual by the name of Yuri Berliner, who was a 30-some-odd year veteran of NPR in Washington, D.C. He went to the Free Press and wrote a scathing story on what was going on within the NPR newsroom. He talked about that in years past, that newsroom was filled with individuals that were interested in asking questions, interested in seeing both sides of the story, and described how that had all but completely evaporated at NPR, and that the newsroom there had become nothing more than just partisan hacks reporting on information that they wanted to. Reporting on information that they felt their audience only needed to hear one side of it. It is what caused him to break his silence of a couple of years ago, and it eventually led to his termination at NPR because he was willing to call out a media entity. And by the way, Yuri Berliner was not a conservative, not a Republican. He is a self-described liberal, but he is a traditional journalist and was, and I would assume continues, to be a traditional journalist. Interested in both sides, interested in all of the fact. And we don't see much of that anymore. A large part of this as well is look at what's going on in journalism schools. Look at what's going on in higher education. They are pumping out 22, 23, 24-year-olds who are politically left being indoctrinated through college. And those are the individuals that are going and working at your local TV stations. Those are the individuals that are covering local news. These people, young adults are indoctrinated through college. They're indoctrinated to be bleeding heart liberals. So they graduate, they get a job here in a market like Wilmington is a great example of a market for first jobs right out of college. And you can see the liberal bias. You can see the liberal point of view immediately. And it's because many of these individuals have never been challenged. They've been told that the liberal point of view, that the story that paints Republicans in a bad light, the story that paints Democrats in a good light, is all that needs to be reported, plain and simple. You see it all the freaking time. So between social media and your ability to now get information yourself, the lack of any sort of journalistic integrity that exists within higher education, and outlets carrying water for a political party that they have a vested interest in, now 28% of people have any sort of trust in the media. 34% say they have none at all, and 36% say not very much. It's self-inflicted, it's completely predictable, and it will, I mean, the reality is very simple. The demise of mainstream media is ongoing, and it will only continue. Plain and simple. And it's not just a Republican issue. This is not just an issue for the, you know, the so-called radical right. Here is the partisan breakdown in this Gallup poll, pulling this up for you. This says partisan trust in media and mass media by age. So no question about it, older individuals, those 65 plus, have more trust in media than younger folks, which makes sense. They grew up in an era and lived through an era in which the media did have some level of integrity, in which they could count on some level of truth and fact on the media. But when you look at these numbers, 18 to 29 years old, only 38% of self-described Democrats have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in media, less than 40%. For independents, that number is at 29%. And for Republicans, that's at 12%. You go to the age block of 30 to 49, only 6% of Republicans have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in media, followed by just 24% of independents and 42% of Democrats. So this is, folks, obviously the lows are very low on the Republican side, but this is across the board. You have to be over 50 years old and a Democrat to have even a 50-50 shot of having trust in mainstream media. That is a very small sector of individuals that trust what you're saying. Only 24% of independents 30 to 49 trust the media. And 50 to 64, the number's even lower, only 23%. So this is a bipartisan issue. This is something that the media has gone on an intentional mission on over the last 30 years, that they were going to step aside from fact, step aside from reporting the news and allowing you to make up your own mind. And the end result is, the audience turns away. The audience goes and looks somewhere else. Now, back 50 years ago, that was tough. There was very few places to go. Prior to the days of cable television and the internet, your option was two, maybe three local television stations over the air with your rabbit ear antennas, and then a handful of radio stations, a couple of newspapers maybe. That was your choice. If you didn't like anything there, you were SOL. That's your option. But here in 2025, it's a completely different ballgame. If you don't like what you're seeing in the news, if you don't like that you are being pandered to by a media outlet, not only can you turn it off, but you can go and search out and find something that's different. And it's why you've seen the rise of alternative media. It's why you have seen the rise of content creation that is news, some of it news focused, some of it opinion focused, that is very, very successful. In some cases, pulling in tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of views every single month. You've seen the rise of Substack, like we just talked about, where people that are over there reporting on news, reporting on issues, and individuals are supporting it financially. You've seen the rise of services like Patreon, right? We use Patreon here for the Nick Craig Show. You've seen a lot of individuals. They're using that as their ability to generate an income while doing either news, commentary, opinion that individuals support. The demise of mainstream media is, some of it is just based on the fact that technology is available and folks have more choices. That is inevitable. When technology changes, when people have more choices, they tend to act on those choices, right? Some of it is just going to happen with the changing of the times, right? Newspapers. Why are those not really in demand anymore? Well, because everything that you read is old versus when you can pick up your phone and in the matter of seconds, see what is going on across the world in real time. You can't do that with a printed piece of paper. You can't do that with something that is printed overnight and delivered to your door the next morning. That's a very hard medium. Newspapers have declined because of it. Radio, with competition now from Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, the ability for you to listen to radio stations across the country on iHeartRadio and TuneIn and Odyssey and all these other apps, you're no longer required to listen to what's going on in your local community. Plus, radio has gone through a terrible transition where they've decided to essentially fire everybody and spend $0 on any of the resources that they have. They pay their employees nothing. They don't invest in them at all. And then when they get in some controversy, they fire them. Not speaking from personal experience or anything like that. So those two industries, you've already seen the major decline. And TV is next. Local television is next. Some of it is due to, again, the technological advances. You can go on YouTube and watch content. You don't have to sit in front of a television. And another part of it is the fact that some, and again, a lot of this is dependent on where you live and what you're watching, some of the content is very, very partisan in nature. It's not news. There is a huge political lean with it. Conservatives and Republicans, independents and Democrats are not interested in watching that. That's not my opinion on it. That's not my stance on it. That's what the data would back up. That's what this Gallup poll is showing across party lines. Some of it is due to technological advances. They had no control over that. But I think a lot of it has to do with very clear directives, very clear decisions from these media outlets to step away from journalism and get into full-on political opinion and full-on political commentary. There is a place for that. It is very successful. You can look at the litany of shows on Fox News that are incredibly successful. You can look at the shows on MSNBC and CNN that are successful. You can look at news outlets online, online publications, podcasts, that radio shows that are very opinionated, very commentary-based, that are very successful. But there is a clear distinction, and there needs to be a clear distinction between opinion and commentary and news. It's why you will never hear me say that I am a journalist. I'm not. I've never pretended to be a journalist. I have never told anybody that I'm a journalist. I used to be a morning talk radio host in Wilmington. Now I'm a podcaster. And if you look at the, for example, the description of this show, you will see that this is not a hardcore news show. I don't make it out to be one. I don't pretend that that's what you're getting when you tune in, because it's important. There is a key difference. There is something that there does need to be a distinction between what is news and what is opinion. Here's the description for this show. The Nick Craig Show is a daily podcast offering sharp insights and bold commentary on the latest political developments in Wilmington, North Carolina, across the state, and on the national stage. Hosted by Nick Craig, the show delves into local issues, state politics, and pressing national debates, delivering a mix of analysis, opinion, and humor to keep listeners informed and engaged. Nowhere in that do you see hard news. The show is not called the Nick Craig News Show. That is very intentional. there does need to be that distinction. However, many mainstream media outlets do not feel that it is important for that distinction to exist. Many mainstream media outlets feel that it is not relevant to draw a very clear divide as to what is opinion and what is news. And the end result is too much opinion has worked into the news space, and now the media, the public, the viewers, the listeners, the readers have shifted away. If they're going to get opinion, they can get it better elsewhere. That's the plain situation. That is the monster that has been created by those in charge within mainstream media outlets. So I'll have a link to this over at our Patreon channel where you can support the show financially. Patreon.com/Nick Craig. I'll have a link to this Gallup poll coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about some changes, big time changes going on over at CBS News with a new head of that entity in Barry Weiss. We'll get to some of your comments as well, plus some local news on the Board of Elections front. All of that coming up as the Nick Craig Show rolls on this morning. But before that, this show, and as you see with many other independent media outlets, we are only supported and only able to stay on the air thanks to local companies and support from our audience. And I do want to thank and tell you about the Law Group here in Wilmington. Melissa Gott and her team at the Law Group have been serving southeastern North Carolina since 2003. Their experienced attorneys are the best. They provide high quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a variety of issues, divorce, real estate transactions, maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088. Or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. All right, quick break. We'll come back, talk about what's going on over at CBS News, plus some local things happening here across southeastern North Carolina. An interesting committee meeting happening in the North Carolina House today. A lot more to get into as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Wednesday morning, streaming live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for starting your morning or spending part of your day with us. Keeping our thread this morning on the media landscape, CBS News has a brand new editor-in-chief. That is now an individual by the name of Barry Weiss. She used to work for the New York Times. She then split from the New York Times and started the Free Press. That's been a relatively popular website over the last couple of years. They were the ones that gave platform and exposed and brought Yuri Berliner's story, the NPR journalist that a couple of years ago decided that he was going to go public. This was his story over at the Free Press. I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. They broke this story. This thing absolutely blew up. It was published April of last year, so a little over a year and a half since that publication. And they've had a couple of other really big stories. But she created the Free Press after leaving the New York Times, and she has now been appointed as the editor-in-chief of the news division at CBS. So she is now the editor-in-chief, the head of CBS News. And with that, well, there is a freakout happening in CBS newsrooms, according to The Independent, which is another media outlet. Journalists within the network feel, quote, it is not in a good place right now. And with the announcement that Barry Weiss is now the editor-in-chief, the newsroom staff is, quote, literally freaking out, with sources telling The Independent that it is not a good situation unfolding. So this is something that is going to be interesting to watch. I will admit, I don't really know a whole hell of a lot about Barry Weiss. I'm going to be the first to admit that. I'm familiar with her. I'm somewhat familiar with what she does, but I would not consider myself, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a subject matter expert on Barry Weiss. So will this be a good thing? Will this be a bad thing? My thoughts and stance on that right now is it can't possibly be any worse. And we just looked at the guy. We just spent 40 minutes talking about the Gallup poll with Americans' trust in media. Obviously, something has to change. Something needs to shift. If it doesn't, the legacy media outlets that exist right now, the CBSs, the NBCs, the ABCs, they will not exist. I don't know exactly what the time frame is, but it won't be very long. There is so much competition in the media space. What used to be, if you had a television station, a radio station, or a newspaper, you essentially had a money printer at your disposal. You owned 90%+ of the audience. You could charge whatever you wanted for advertising, and people had absolutely no choice but to spend money with you to get information about their products, their services, their company out to an audience. That has changed dramatically over the last 10 or 15 years. Companies now, many of them spend their advertising budget, especially small local companies and even medium-sized local companies, they spend their money on digital advertising. They're buying ads on Facebook. They're buying pre-roll ads on YouTube and Rumble and other media platforms. They're buying social media advertising on Instagram. That's how they're getting their message out there. They have shifted their advertising budget away from television, shifted away from media, TV and radio, and are now putting it into online media publications. They are now spending that money not with any local outlet, but spending it with big, you know, national companies like Facebook and X and YouTube and Google and everywhere else. So that's where the money is going. And I this is self-explanatory, but I'll just reiterate it. The reason that over-the-air television, the reason that radio in your car is free is because it is supported by advertisers. Not that it's not very expensive to run and operate a television station. It is. It is very expensive to run and operate a radio station. Been there, done that. It's very expensive. And so the way that you subsidize that expense, the way that you can pay to keep your signal on the air, the way that you can pay employees is by selling advertising. It is exclusively, and it's changed a little bit in recent years with all these newspapers and television outlets and radio stations having websites where they produce content and there's digital advertising there, sure. But for the most part, it is still an advertiser-supported medium. It's why it's traditional TV and radio is free. There is no cost to you, the consumer. You can go to Walmart and purchase a $15 antenna, hook it up to a television, and you can watch dozens of TV channels for free. Now, you're going to sit through commercials, sure, but that's the model. That's how it's worked. So looking at what's going to happen with Barry Weiss over at CBS News, it's not immediately clear. I don't know exactly how she's going to handle herself. One thing I can say is I don't believe that she is a hardcore conservative. I'm not even sure that she's necessarily a Republican. But in my tertiary research of her over the last couple of days, one of the things that she has been consistent on is this kind of woke agenda. She, for 5 or 6 years now, has been a strong voice against this kind of woke garbage nonsense that so many of us on the right absolutely despise. And so, if nothing else, if she kind of cuts out this woke garbage DEI crap that you know exists over at an entity like CBS News, that could be a major shift for one of the largest news organizations in the world in CBS News. And they've got employees literally plastered all over the globe. So it's going to be interesting to see. the fact that journalists within the CBS newsroom are apparently panicking and freaking out over the announcement that she's going to be the editor-in-chief is probably a sign that the status quo of woke garbage and woke nonsense, those days hopefully will pass over at CBS. I don't want major media outlets to go away. I really don't. I think the more media we have, the more outlets we have, the better. But at the same time, if they have lost their audience, if they have lost the trust of the viewers, readers, or listeners, it's only a matter of time. And so these outlets like CBS, like NBC, like ABC, they have a lot of work to do to try and win back an audience. They have a lot of work to do to win back some level of trust. So it's going to be interesting to see. She just got appointed to that position. I think it was literally a couple days ago, like Monday maybe. So this is obviously no major wholesale changes have happened yet. It's something that I'm definitely going to be keeping a close eye on to see. She inevitably will be speaking public at some point. It's going to be interesting to see if CBS's news content begins to shift a little bit as it relates to the content that they cover and how they cover it. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I'll be looking at it. And as anything relevant boils to the top, I'll bring it to you right here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, into some local news this morning. A pretty surprising announcement out yesterday from the New Hanover County Board of Elections. The election director in Ray Hunter Havens has announced an immediate retirement effective literally yesterday. Interesting. Here's the statement that I was emailed last night from the board. Today, the New Hanover County Elections Director Ray Hunter Havens announces her retirement effective immediately, citing health reasons. Ray Hunter Havens has served the citizens of New Hanover County and the state of North Carolina for many years with dedication and professionalism. The Board of Elections thanks her for her public service and wishes her well in retirement. Now, it's also added in here that to assist with the transition, Hunter Havens will continue to provide consulting services to the county through April 1st of 2026. Now, it is interesting that this announcement is coming out when it is, because you've got early voting that begins in less than 10 days here across southeastern North Carolina for the municipal election. So the election director announcing her retirement less than 2 weeks before the start of early voting is definitely something interesting. The reality of it is pretty simple from my vantage point. We saw the change earlier this year in general statute. We saw the North Carolina General Assembly change who has authority and oversight over the State Board of Elections and therefore the local county Board of Elections. It was previously under the governor. It's now under the state auditor's office. The state auditor is Dave Bullock. He joined us on the show back a couple of weeks ago. And with that change, you are seeing a shift in the board from Democrat control to Republican control. I'll admit I don't know Ray Hunter Havens very well. I've had some limited interactions with her out at early voting locations and things of that nature. But what I do know is that last election cycle, New Hanover County had a serious problem. They were the last county in the state out of 100 counties. They were the last county in the state to report any election day results. Then you'll remember after the election, there was questions about ballots that were not counted on time. You had a huge process that played out for about 2 weeks where it was unclear who was going to be on the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners. That was a huge black eye for the New Hanover County Board of Elections. And there was a back and forth with the state board. Oh, you told us we could do this. You told us that we were allowed to do it. Then the state board claps back and says, no, we never told you could do this. You were breaking the law. I mean, just a mess. So she's citing health concerns. Hope that everything is all right with her and it's not anything too serious. But it's time for a change at the New Hanover County Board of Elections. You've already seen a change there. It is now a 3-2 Republican to Democrat majority. And I think it only makes sense with that change that you get a new elections director in there. So early voting begins here in the next literally starts next week on the 16th. That is next Thursday. So a week from tomorrow when that begins. That's a of course, incredibly relevant and important. We'll be chatting with the three Republican candidates running for Wilmington City Council and Mayor Luke Waddell, Richard Collier, and Billy Craig, who I will note, no relation at all. We just happen to have the same last name. We'll be chatting with them in the next week or two as we head into early voting and head into Election Day for the municipal elections coming up here in early November. And we'll see if there's any more fallout, any more discussion over what's going on at the State Board of New Hanover County Board of Elections. But the news this morning, again, the director in Ray Hunter Haven, she is out, effective immediately. However, it is noted that she will provide some consulting services through April of next year. So we'll keep an eye on that and see who gets tapped to take up that position as the next election director. In some statewide news, something that I'm going to be keeping an eye on today, while the General Assembly is not expected to be back in their full capacity until the 20th of this month, there is an interesting committee meeting that is happening this afternoon. The House Select Committee on Government Efficiency. This was something that was started in direct response to, of course, DOGE at the federal level. We talked about this a couple of months ago when this first started. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It is an entity dealing with government efficiency. We all know that at the federal level, the state level, and even at the local level, the most local level of government, there are huge wastes of money that exist. There are huge efficiency issues that exist. It is government after all. There's no incentive to be efficient. When you need more money, you just raise taxes. When you need more money, you just take more from the citizens. There's very little incentive. I might argue no incentive at all to be fiscally responsible and to be efficient with the resources that you have. So this committee is meeting today. There's no agenda published for the meeting. So it's not clear exactly what is going to be discussed. I will note that Representative Charlie Miller, who is a Republican who is in the General Assembly, represents Carolina, Curie Beach, that area, and then over the river into Southport and portions of southern Brunswick County. He is a member of this committee, so we'll see if he's got anything to say, and we'll watch that meeting 1 o'clock this afternoon at the General Assembly. If anything is relevant, anything is interesting, as always, I'll be running a recorder on it, keep my eye on it, and we'll provide any details and pass it along to you right here on the Nick Craig Show. Again, I was mentioned yesterday that I was going to be in on radio the next couple of days. So those plans have changed, so I am not in today. This is your only shot to hear me for the rest of the day today. But you can, of course, always check out the Carolina Journal News Hour, a show that I host at 5 a.m. on WBT Radio in Charlotte. It's in all of your favorite podcast apps and available over at the Carolina Journal YouTube channel. So rolling through here on the rest of a busy week here across North Carolina. Thanks to the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support. You can give them a call at 910-251-6088 or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for a Wednesday edition. We're back here tomorrow morning on the Nick Craig Show.